One sec, I need my Mass Effect themed music.
That's alright, I got mine on.
Huge. Okay, that's there. What are you drinking?
I got a cup of wine.
Oh, very nice.
What do you got?
My house has been watching all of the Fast and Furious franchise. And because we're on Fast 9 up, we've just finished 9, so we're on 10 now. We just bought a whole case of Corona because I don't know if you've seen anything about the Fast and Furious, but they're always drinking and talking about Corona. It's a bit in it.
Interesting. Okay, good. Yeah.
Which is why I originally started drinking Corona. Is
really?
Because me and my friends back in uni were just fucking around, and then we just made a joke about Fast and Furious. And we're like, let's start drinking Corona. And then we started drinking Corona. Which is also why I only drink Pepsi and not Coke, which isn't Fast and Furious related, but it is a bit related.
For a bit.
Most of my personality kind of descends from bits.
Oh, yeah, of course, Robin. Yeah. We're the same in that way. I fully believe wholeheartedly that I am a whiskey guy. I mean, I genuinely love it now.
Yeah.
But I'm a whiskey guy because watching the OC in college,
Amazing.
Drink that Ryan Atwood always ordered was a 7 and 7.
Oh, of course.
So I would get a Seagram 7 and 7.
Yeah. Damn, every single time we play the OC drinking game, 7 and 7 has not come up.
Because you know what? I realized that it's only...
It's the college seasons?
Season 1. No.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's season 1. It's Ryan Atwood's troubled year.
Oh, and then he gets chased and stops drinking.
He becomes the responsible one.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the later season. In his, like, troubled year. Yeah.
I am, I think, addicted to Adam Brody, I think. I keep watching shit with him in it because he's...
Boy, he's hot.
God,
he's
and
great.
So stupid charming. Did I tell you that I want to make an Avengers of just people... Of, like, a sitcom of people that I find the best? Adam Brody would be in it.
We've
Jake
talked
Johnson.
A little bit about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the B from Apartment 23. Kristen Ritter. She'd be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about, I don't remember his name, but the guy who plays Winston on. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I like Yvette Nicole Brown to be in it. She's so good in Community, and people don't sing her praises enough.
She's so good. Also, I've been watching some clips of her recently, and she is very fucking charming out of character. I had not seen a lot of her
why
out
have
of
you been
character
watching,
recently.
Why have you been doing that?
Oh, she just comes
she's
up,
just on.
She's coming up on my feeds and stuff in, like, doing guest spots and podcasts and things like that.
Oh, sure.
And I think she's so, like, so, so charming and funny.
Yeah. Can I pitch another? Yeah. Can we also get Padgett Brewster for our... Yeah.
Oh!
And this, funniest. And that's what I'm saying. Funniest. This is the best sitcom of all time that we're making. Mm-hmm. We're collecting the funniest people that exist. And we're putting them in a show together.
Absolutely.
Mm. Hey.
And
hey, Dill.
What?
Do you think the audience can tell that we haven't spoken in a couple days?
Can the audience tell that Robin and I haven't been in a physical space together in now months?
In months, yeah.
And that's going to end in
under
a couple
24 hours.
Of hours.
When Dylan and I quote, let me just go to our Discord here. Okay, Dylan, today, 11:15, morning, me, today at 11:26, morning, Dylan, 11:30, gonna see you tomorrow, gonna eat your eyeballs, oh no, sorry, gonna fucking eat your eyeballs.
Yeah, gonna fucking eat your eyeballs.
I'm gonna fucking
can't
eat your
wait.
Eyeballs.
Yeah. Yeah, we got an Airbnb, there are not enough beds for all of us that are staying there. And I said, don't worry, I'm crawling inside Robin's rib cage.
Yep.
Gonna
live in there like a rat.
I'm gonna fucking live in there.
You don't need all of your organs is the thing.
You don't. I've seen what happens to pregnant women. I've seen what the things that move around to make space.
There's and you're a sentient being, so if something starts failing, you're just gonna start pushing on it.
Exactly.
Pumping blood
I'll just
around.
Make it work. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. I'll make sure everything's good.
Everyone
in there.
Calm down. It'll
Everybody
be fine.
Everybody calm down. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Good. And then next episode, we're going to have one screen and two microphones, but one is pointed at my chest as you operate me and speak. And then my voice box is the only thing I still control.
Ooh, it's like a dark retelling of Ratatouille.
Yeah. Ratatouille's going off
the
license.
Are all into that now.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're making a cheap horror Ratatouille.
That's it. Yeah. That's what we'll do.
I tell you that was a pitch that I had for a character in a TTRPG game. I wanted to be so it was Blood Island, which was a show that I was on last year.
Oh, okay.
Two years ago.
Great show.
Ended up playing Three Goblins in a Trench Coat. The idea was that it was Love Island, but we were all fantasy people.
No, that was a great
I ended
fun
up being
show.
Three Goblins in a Trench Coat, but my original pitch was that I was a wizard, in quotation marks, but I was... actually a rat who had it started as a rat and then turned into a goblin. I was a rat that lived inside of a dead human's chest and was piloting him like a Jaeger, and I accidentally found my way on this show, and I'm trying really hard just to make myself seem as normal as possible. And then it turned into a
actually
goblin
great.
Who did the same thing, and then I was like, what if I was actually just three goblins pretending to be one guy?
And it was great.
It was very good.
Good time.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Oh, my God.
My God. I've missed you.
Robin.
Hello,
baby. I missed you, too. I love you.
What are we doing here?
Hi, my name is Dylan. I've never played a Mass Effect game.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times.
Bitch. We got moral ambiguity. We got moral ambiguity.
We got moral ambiguity, baby.
It's like a fucking Bioware game in here.
My God.
We got
get huge Dragon Age vibes from this, actually.
I was so... Okay, I'm gonna preface to the audience and to you that in discussing this, my notebook, which was full, is missing. I moved...
Evil.
...in the middle of playing this last chapter. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
My bag, which has my notebook in it. So half my notes are gone.
Yeah.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. What I will tell to you is that I am so excited by just like the introduction of the real lore of this world, the exploration of this, and the fact that we now have some fucking moral choices.
Big choice this week.
All right, so we had two planets to explore.
Yes, we had Novaria and Pharos.
I feel like I should have done Pharos first, but I did Novaria first.
I also did Novaria first.
Pharos now, in retrospect, feels like the lead up to...
I actually disagree. I think Pharos feels like the lead up to Endgame. It feels very big to me, Pharos. Yeah, we talk a lot about, like, Novaria feels a little separate. It is, you know, Matriarch Benezia's, like, house. So it's, feels kind of big in Endgame, but in a game where there's only six missions, it's like... kind of whatever.
I guess so. Yeah.
And I do agree. Actually, you know what? The fact that there is a huge Asari presence on Pharos does make Novaria feel a little like, because, you know, she's the Asari, one of the Asari leaders.
Leader, yeah.
But I think there is... I like the way the game set out where it is kind of... just kind of do them in an order that you feel is right.
Oh, I do like that.
Yeah.
Yes. No,
it's
no.
Very
Dragon
Age Origins, which they do the same thing. It's very Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of do any of the treaties in any order, but then there is kind of an order to them. I don't know why
there's an order that
had Novaria
feels good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I had Nevaria first. I think on the wiki, it comes up first. And I was like, okay, so Nevaria is the initial.
Like the, if you're just like looking at the planets, it feels kind of like directionally easier to get to, even though that makes no difference mechanically.
No, it doesn't. Not only did we do Nevaria Pharos, there was the Rogue VI mission. Did you do that? The Rogue VI mission on Sol or Luna, I guess.
It's
tiniest side mission. You'd remember it because you go to Earth's moon and you do a tiny nothing ass mission on Earth's moon. Okay. Do that first thing next week.
Okay, we'll do.
Because it gives you, it is optional, but it gives you a specialization. So your class turns into another class.
Ah, okay.
And even though it is a go here and shoot a bunch of stuff, the idea and story comes up later subsequent games. So it's the one that I'm like, this is the one that we should. This is the only side mission that I think is like 100% you have to do this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in. So I had intended to do like a lot more side missions, but life got
cuckoo.
So I really just did mostly the Nevaria and Pharos missions. And I did like, you know, I surveyed all the planets in each solar system as I went, you know, I did all that stuff too. So very few side quests, I would say. But so we started on Nevaria.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an interesting place. Nevaria is like has a research station on it. And it's like, and like the trains are dead.
Yeah. There's a giant snowstorm. So it's, people are hunkering down a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and like the power is down on pretty much everything and everything is on lockdown, but we get there and we know that,
we know Matriarch Benezia has gone through here and was last seen here. So we're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? This is also the first place in Nevaria is a like trade hub. Big business is here. A lot of people can just kind of, a lot of businesses can kind of move in, have research stations where they're practically left alone. So a lot of like the big bad companies just kind of turn up.
Just turn up here.
And hang out. Yeah.
So we go in, we go into like, when you're going like deep into like the Nevaria's like research station where you're like trying to track down the matriarch, there's like a ship VI. Because it's not AI, which I do actually appreciate. And I think that we should bring that usage into the real world and start calling these shitty pieces of shit that do not have actual intelligence. We should start calling them VI.
Mm-hmm.
So the ship's VI is telling, or the research facility's VI is telling us that like, everything is not functioning and that like there are all these things that need to be fixed to get it to function. You get to like kind of go into the core and turn it on.
There's a pretty big bit at the beginning here before you get to the actual research facility, which is you can go in and there's like a lot of there's like a whole conspiracy with getting the card to open the back door and get the Mako.
Oh my god, I forgot the whole fucking,
so there's a whole like opening section with the companies and you're kind of like playing politics a bit. There's a few different ways to actually end up getting the key card.
You're so right. And so I, when you,
hey, listen, no notes. And it's also been a couple weeks since we've played these sections, so it's a little while. So when you first arrive, I kind of want to say that you are grounded for a bit because you are very suspect on arrival. You turn up, there are people are immediately suspicious of you, and you get stopped off at customs. I brought Tali and Liara with me for this mission. Liara, because I knew Matriarch Benezia was coming up, and it's her mother. And Tali, because I haven't really used Tali, so I kind of wanted to have Tali coming along. Who did you have with you?
Yeah, I had Garrus and Rex, Liara.
Oh, very good. Okay,
no,
cool.
No. I initially had Garrus and... I think I initially had Garrus and Tali similarly because I haven't used Tali yet. But then I got off the ship and someone immediately was like, we should get Liara involved, because I appreciate. I like that.
Yeah, also like that. Yeah,
Liara, you know, like Liara's mother is here. We should probably have a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I haven't done, which I would be interested in doing, because you unlock Novaria immediately as soon as you exit the Citadel. I would quite like to do Novaria and then meet Liara, a thing which I've never done before. I'm wondering if you can. I think you can.
I guess you must be able to.
Yeah, a weird little... I just want to see what she says, if anything, about the fact that you killed her mum and she doesn't know about it. But yes, you get stopped at customs. You get allowed through because all of your Spectre status goes off and they're like, we literally can't stop you, unfortunately. So yeah, go on ahead. I immediately met with one of the Hanar. There's a Hanar merchant knocking around, and then he asks me to smuggle something in. And I say,
yes.
Okay, what is it? And he's like, please don't ask questions. And I'm like, okay. And I go and I pick the stuff up and I smuggle it in because I'm allowed through customs and I don't give a fuck.
I tattled right away.
Oh my God. Little tattler. You're a little good guy. Are you getting a lot of Paragon? How are we feeling with your Paragon Renegade status?
I don't know where it is. Am I able to see that somewhere?
You are able to see it, yeah. I just mean, did you pick a lot of...
I didn't necessarily, because I have also pissed people off a lot and I've gotten some renegade stuff, but I got some Paragon with that.
Just wondering how Arnie is doing. But I'm sure we'll figure it out. So then you meet with a Salarian, who's like kind of like ahead of this area, because he's the only one who can get you through these gates and get a key card.
And he's such a bitch.
He is a bitch. He like what denies you at every pass, and then you leave and his assistant is like, hey, if you want in, we can figure out a way, because there's these things that need to happen. And like, oh, like, yeah, she tells you to meet with Lorik Keen. And then, oh, wait, does she tell you to meet with Lord Keen? No, she might be asking you to investigate him. My notes are also fairly scattered. It's been a while.
Tells you to investigate Lorik Keen, not to meet with him.
Oh, sure, yeah. Because she wants evidence into the Salarian, who's like the head of this little little zone. You try to get Lorik Keen to testify against him. And it's like kind of whichever way you want to do that, you can. I commanded him to do it. I like got right up in his face and I was like, you're going to do this because otherwise things are going to end really bad for you. And he's like, okay,
I was pretty bad. Not necessarily on purpose, but maybe because I just made a bad decision, but then I was like, you know what? I think this fits in character.
Yeah.
But I collected all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
about Lorcan, and then I handed it over to the to the Solarian, and I was like, let me in. Here's all the evidence against you.
Whoa. So what happens to him then? Because in my one, he gets arrested. He gets arrested and hauled away. The Solarian does.
Yeah. No, now he's like, oh, good to know. And my companions are pretty pissed off at me. They're like, wait, why did you, just so we could continue our investigation? And I was like, yeah, our investigation is important. We have to keep going. we have to get through here. Didn't you hear? There's a fucking matriarch. like wreaking havoc across the galaxy. Yeah. We got to get through. I was just saying, so yeah, I think I made the choice kind of by accident, but I think it makes sense with the way I've built Shepherd, where she's still very like, she's still very mission driven and do anything to survive. And also we are the law kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we'll maybe get her there eventually.
That's so interesting. It's really fun that both of us are starting off fairly renegade, fairly like, you know, fuck the system and we're going to do us and, do what it takes to get the mission. Shiv is a little less that. She's very, I can't stop doing my favorite guy in the world, Florence Hawk, DA2, where she is so incredibly for the team, but is very like, that's it. Like no one else. I care so little about other people.
For later. Oh. Putting a pin.
Oh, put a pin in that. Okay, sure. Also find out that Saren is a major investor in a company called Binary Helix, which is a biotics manufacturer. And there is a Binary Helix facility here called Peak 17, I think. Peak 15. And then you get the Mako and you drive there. How is the Mako for you? Are you still struggling?
Hate it so much. But I did discover that it is more fun to just drive over people.
Yeah. Yeah, just do it.
Just drive over them. Sometimes there's a scary cutscene right before you enter an area and it's like, this is going to be the toughest guy. You can drive over
him. And then
him.
You just hit him with a car.
You can hit done. Him with a car. That's it. Don't worry about it, gang. Just hit him with a car.
And then you get into the facility. Then all the power's off. Then you turn all the power onto the facility again. The facility is inundated with Rachni, which is a very big thing. It's a thing that I was a little sad I didn't bring Rex along for. The Rachni Wars are what the Krogans were enlisted to help destroy, and then what eventually ended up leading to the Genophage starting is because they were simply too good and multiplying too fast and taking over a lot of places because of Rachni. I think he has some interesting things to say because
probably
when I got there with Tali and Liara, it didn't come up that they were Rachni because no one knew what they were. Rachni have been out for so many years that none of the three of us knew what it was. And they were all commenting like, what the fuck is this?
Garrus, I think, did bring it up. In the beginning. Yeah. Because I knew the word Rachni before we met any that could speak to me.
Sure.
So the kind of mission that you're doing is that you're waking this place back up. You get through and then you find the people who've barricaded themselves inside and have done basically like suicide protocols essentially where they've there's one guy who's like barricaded himself in and has like shut down everything and like set the place to kind of go up. And you get in and you kind of talk him down a little bit, and then he tells you that matriarch Benezia like went to go check out another section of the ship, which would be in my notes. And so you're like, well, I just came from there. She's not there. And he's like, oh, well, fuck, I guess. Like, if she's not there, she's got to be in the labs. So like you go like in, and then like all of these like experimental creatures also are attacking you on the way too.
Yeah.
Because like there's been like experiments done.
Yeah, because this is a biotic like creation facility, so they're just doing weird shit to see what works. Yeah.
And so all of that's been unlocked, so they're all attacking you. It's weird, freaky little jittery.
Yeah, things alien things. This is a really cool little zone where you meet the like survivors of the peak.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of little missions. You think you're just here for one thing, and then you find this tiny little alcove of people, and they're all giving you shit to do. Because it's like, I mean, there's medical equipment that we need because people are dying on the beds. There is this one Asari who's acting really weird and is like asking you to do shit. There's doctors who are like, you're talking to them and they are very clearly morally corrupt, but then are also asking you like, hey, can you help us with this? Because this whole shit for us is fucked. And it's like, okay, I mean, I guess so. Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of fun, interesting things to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did. I don't know how much of that you did. If you did much of it.
That's not the Pharos.
This is stuff. Novaria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's
Pharos also has people asking you to, like, Pharos also has a little alcove of people asking you to do shit.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, where you have to go, like, collect power cores and make sure the base is running well.
The base. Yeah.
But Novaria has a little bit when you meet that guy and he's like, oh, Matriarch Benezia is in the labs. You can then go around and then talk to people, the survivors, and then they will be giving you little tasks. There's the Asari who turns out to be working for Matriarch Benezia. So she's like waiting for you to do shit, getting you on your own. And then you're jumped by like a group of people who will try to kill you, and they like slaughter a guard. There's a Volus who is trying to get into another route, who is trying to get something, but he's just like a little conversation, and it's just a lot of people to discuss and shoot the shit with. Anyway, then you go to Matriarch Benezia, fight through a bunch of people, and you find her.
She's like got a, well, one, there's one of these, like through all of this, the like alien species, this like sort of spider hive mind.
Yeah. The Rachni
that we're kind of like fighting through on the way here. We learn about them, that they have a hive mind and that they have a queen essentially, and that like that's like the source of everything, like their intelligence and their and their power and whatnot, and like the queen is like locked up in this like central spot in this room in the hot labs, I think it is, in that area where Matriarch Benezia is. So she's there, but then the matriarch of the Rachni is also in there, like trapped. And so like when we meet her, she's like immediately hostile to us, doesn't care that her daughter's there, is like explicitly like, you can bring it up and be like, you're gonna kill your daughter. She's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't care about that. And you're like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
Curious. And then when you fight her, which is like pretty inevitable, great BioWare staple. You get her down to zero hit points, and then she has a little cutscene where she's like, let me explain. but instead of that, it's like she's like, no, I can, I, the Saren is like infecting.
Yeah, he's indoctrinated her. And it's an important, like, the terminology of indoctrinate is very important for this game, for this like series of games. The term indoctrination is a big one, but he indoctrinates her.
Yeah. And like, he can like seemingly genuinely control her, but she is fighting it, resisting it.
Yeah.
Etc. And tries to, but can't, ultimately cannot.
She says that his power comes from Sovereign, which is his ship. And she tried, she joined him originally to try and pull him over, like away from like this dark path. But then she was like, inevitably, it just takes everyone who is near him. And if they're on the ship specifically, will get indoctrinated. She says that Saren is after the Mu Relay, which left orbit 4,000 years ago. And if they find the Mu Relay, they can use it to find the conduit, which is this big, the thing that they're all after. Yep.
And then, like, she starts to lose control back again to Saren.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have to kill her. And Liara's like, man, no killer. I don't.
Liara's really cold with it.
Liara's really cold about it.
A really fun thing, which we'll be seeing, that Liara is crazy cold about very specific things.
I actually loved it. I thought it was really interesting. Just because, well, like, fast forwarding, you're back on the ship. Everybody is like, you have to talk to Liara. She just had to kill her mother. Have to speak with her. And then you go speak to her. She's like, whatever. Like,
yeah, she's like, she wasn't my mom. I don't really give a fuck.
I don't care. But I think it's so funny. Everybody on the ship is like, you must
is convinced that Liara is going to be super messed up, because everyone else would be naturally. And also, it's pretty clear that it's not even an Asari thing. It's a Liara thing.
I
do it again.
So then, I don't know about you, but after the matriarch dies, which seems like such a fucking huge moment.
Big moment,
After that, I was like, I got a notification that was like, get out of here. Go, leave. So I was looking for the exit for like, I'm going to say about an hour, and I'm going to be totally honest with you. I went and I saw the thing that was like, and it came up with like a click on this to leave via tram. And I was clicking on it, babes. I was clicking on it. I reloaded. I left. I came back. You're locked in that area. You can't go anywhere. I was like, why? Well, what's happened to me? I'm stuck here for eternity. In my running around, finally realized that I was supposed to know that I needed to approach.
Yeah, the queen
where the Rachni queen is held, and then we get an additional cutscene, which, to be fair, was really good.
Oh, it's so good. The Rachni are such a... It introduces an additional alien race, not like a... These are just kind of gross bugs that run around, which you think they are. And then it's like, no, they're sentient and have a mind.
They
sing. Everything sings in their universe, and they're all singing together, and it's a whole thing. It's great. So cool.
They're singing together, and also they talk about the war, and they talk about the fact that, like, no, we regret what our ancestors did in the... previous war. We don't want to do that. We also don't want to be mind controlled by this guy Saren. We just want a chance to like hear a song again. And then they speak through Liara's dead mom.
Oh, it's really
they like
cool.
are able to control her body and like elevate her and like use her to speak. And they're like, and they, but they also say, and again, I'm fucking mad that my notes aren't here because I wrote some things down, because some of the stuff that they said was beautiful was like something about like her song like was particularly beautiful to them. Mm-hmm. And like things that indicated that like they felt some kind of connection to her despite the fact that their link was forced. Mm-hmm. And like it's just an interesting, it was interesting. And I really liked it. And then you had the opportunity to let them go. But your companions had some ideas. I'm curious.
Yes. I think Tally was pro kill it.
That does seem to track. Yeah.
Bad and evil and they should probably die. I think Liara was like a bit of a, I can't necessarily remember, but I think she was a bit of a, I don't really care either way.
Liara was a bit like fuck these things, like in a cold way. And Garrus, if I remember right, which I might not be, but Garrus was kind of like, well, they had nothing to do with whatever that was.
Yeah, like, it's because Garrus is a good guy.
Yeah,
he's a good dude.
So I let her go, mm-hmm. and felt pretty like nervous about that. But it also seemed really beautiful, so I liked it.
Really, really cool. Yeah. I also let her go. Because it's like my team were like, I don't really care / negative, which is like, okay, well, my team wants me to kill them, but also this feels bad. Even though I was playing like I Shiv has the background of being ruthless, but we're done here. Like, the Rachni aren't the enemy. It was Matriarch Benezia was the enemy, and she's dead.
Yeah.
This person is a prisoner. Get the prisoner out, regardless of what happened. And because the Rachni Queen is also like my brothers and sisters that have attacked and killed you. Attacked and tried to kill you. Kill them. You need to win that fight. They are a lost cause, but I am not a lost cause, and I have children that aren't lost causes either. Please let our song continue. And I'm like, I'm not a fucking monster. Yeah, fine.
I like that. Yeah. I went back to the ship afterwards and hung around a bit. And I talked to my shipmates. And this Alistair Thurin motherfucker, Caden Alenko, was like, hey, what's going on with you and the Asari? And I was like, nothing. I spoke to her once.
To her
like,
once.
What are you fucking talking about? She's like, well, the rumors below deck are that you two have a thing going. And I was like, well, we don't. And he's like, oh, so we have a thing going. And I'm like, we don't. What the fuck is happening? I'm sorry. BioWare learned about consent game 2 of both of their series. because Origins is the same way. People are like, we're in a relationship, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I've spoken to you
nice
twice
to you twice and that's it. Good god. Command some self-respect.
Interestingly, I also went back. Caden was like, hey, so what's happening with you and the Asari? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a little something. I don't know. I went to go speak to Liara, and Liara was like, hey, so I kind of like you. And I was like, I kind of like you too. What are we doing here? What the fuck's going on? And then she gets really flustered when I'm confirmed. Yeah. Okay. We should. Yeah. Let's start dating and let's get a little romance. I'm going to skip ahead past Pharos just for a bit because I re-speak to Liara later and she's like, so the Asari, they don't have sex in a normal way. They connect into the mind of the other person and they kind of mind meld. And that's how, you know, they have sex.
Yeah.
I
would have to know what that felt like before I was.
I was like, that sounds fucking awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. Do you want to do it? That because I'm fine. Playing a messy lesbian in this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then Liara was like, oh yeah, it's just like, it's such a big deal to me because I've never felt this way about anyone. And I've never done this before. And then Shepard was like, oh, no thanks. And then I dumped her after she was like, hey, I have these really strong feelings for you. I was like, oh, I think Shiv thinks this is too serious now and is going to be like, actually, I'm actually good. Thank you so much. I'm actually not interested. If this is your first time, it's a big deal because this isn't a big deal to me and it clearly is to you. So it's Liara.
What's interesting about this is that I feel like this, I feel like I see the blueprints of all of the pieces of Dragon Age Origins in this game, right? Like I see all of it.
Yeah.
The connections and like the romance and like the that sort of development in this game happens so fast.
Really fast.
Even faster than in Origins, which is notorious for the Dragon Age series to be pretty like fast.
I understand why.
It feels like
I understand why, and it's because there are 6 missions in this game.
Exactly.
And it's like no one's story is really progressed in side missions. There are some bits, but you don't really like have full conversations like you do. So we are, if you think about it, we are in the last act of this game now. And you got to have a romance.
Oh my God, that's wild.
Do you know what I mean? That's what's crazy. That's why it moves so ridiculously fast. And I see it as a negative generally, but it's also, it's one that it's like, I'm never gonna, if I have a list of cons for Mass Effect 1, how fast romance moves won't be one of them because I understand why they did it. They just have to do it.
And I appreciate that it's like, that it's included. I will say though, Caden, I kind of like was like, I'm going to choose like middling responses in this interaction to see where it goes. And he was just sort of like, no, I have feelings for you. Like, but let's, you know.
Yeah.
Let's
just be friends.
And that was an interesting take. And I think that that's really like, I don't know. I thought that was really good and surprising. I still don't want to romance him, but I thought that was like a fun version of it.
Again, it's a thing where people keep saying that Caden is a really good romance generally because he's a really good character. It's just a thing which I just don't know anything really about because I never really interacted much with him.
It seems like he has the potential to be a good romance because it feels like I'm not being, although it was really easy to trigger, it doesn't feel like it's rushing.
And it's also an interesting thing where it's like, I don't even think the romances of this game are easy to trigger. I think they are default automatically happening. You have to reject and pick one of them because it's like both Liara so, because Liara is like the male femme Shep, you can romance her either way. It is like fully canon that Liara will always have feelings for Shepard at some point. Like, we'll always start the game having feelings and then you can move into friends or not. But it's I think it's a thing where because of time constraints of how long the main missions are, it's like they just gave you both of them and they're like either Caden, Liara, or Liara and Ashley. And they're like, just pick one of them who you want to pursue.
Oh, I threw Ashley a bone. I was like, hey, Ashley, how are we doing? And she was like, I've learned not to, you know, be racist on this ship. And I was like, that's great to know. good to know. Mm. How is your family?
Yeah.
She was like, I love my family. And then she told me so much about her family. And I was like, okay. I asked how your family was. I didn't like ask for the whole fucking
life story.
Story. If you could just fucking shut up a little bit, Ashley.
I like it though. I like her whole thing. I like she mentions that she has a crush on Caden, which I think is cute.
Yeah. And then she said, but whatever. I guess he's already into someone. And I was like, do you want to mind your fucking business? She said, I wish we didn't have aliens on this ship. And I said, yeah, get out. Yeah. Into the airlock with you, Ashley.
Into the airlock. Yeah. And throw you into a Mass Effect relay. Speak to Garrus. Turns out Garrus was up for a Spectre position, but yes. Garrus's dad didn't like Spectres because of the fact they're outside the law and can't be held to any accountability. So then Garrus denied the position. Love that boy. Love that boy.
Love him.
Yeah.
Can't wait to fucking sit on his weird face. Next. Can't wait to balance on his beak.
Hey, you know how ducks excellent. Have those spiral penises? Do you have the same? Let's find out.
Do you? Yeah. Can't wait. Oh my God.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Pharos.
Oh, well, no. Then you speak to Rex?
I did.
Well, Rex worked for Saren.
Oh, right. He did work for Saren.
Yeah, he didn't know that he worked for Saren.
Right. He didn't know until.
But he did. And the only reason he's not indoctrinated and trying to kill Shepard is because he just decided to not turn up to work that one day. And he just missed. He literally just missed the boat and was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Everyone's trying to fucking kill each other. That's crazy. I don't think Tally has anything remarkable to say. I haven't written anything down, and I know I spoke to her.
I talked to Tali, and Tali was like, I guess this might have been that I maybe didn't finish Tali's dialogue tree last time, but Tali had like kind of really gone more into that she's really excited about being on this pilgrimage and that she's really grateful to be on it with us. Mm-hmm. Because like it could have been such a boring, like nothing thing. Like,
yeah.
Like she's like actually like really happy to be there, which is why I really do want to take her out more. I just,
she's a cool character. Yeah. I really like her.
Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah.
She's cool.
I then did Rogue VI, but we'll talk about that next week. And then we go to Pharos.
Pharos.
We land on Pharos. Zhu's Hope is the settlement we can call, is what we come across. Do you have notes for this?
No, because.
Yeah, because, yeah.
I started taking notes in my old notebook and then finished it.
Yeah. So we're in Zhu's Hope. Exogeny, which is the company. This is a company planet, basically. The company owns the entire planet. These are all employees, not even old employees of this company, who are in this settlement that are getting constantly bombarded by Geth, and this is they're living in shipping containers. Truly, there is like nothing here.
And the Geth have a base of operations, have been like coordinating attacks on this place for a while now, and like people are like defending themselves in like a really desperate way. Like when you find that guy's name.
Which one? Are we talking in the later group of people?
No, in like the first group.
In like the first group. I don't have his name.
Okay. So when you find, you're going into this, this, like, what is like a big, like multi-tiered facility.
Is it
that's
Fidan?
Been, like,
is that who you're talking
Fidan.
About?
Fidan. Yeah. That has been just completely destroyed by Geth and is overrun and attacked by Geth all the time. You run in and you go to find Fidan, who is the like leader of this like refugee area, mm-hmm. essentially. And he is like there, like Robin said, like there are people like basically living in big shipping containers or like trailers that are dropped all over the place. But this place used to be a functioning like multi-tiered facility. So there's like elevators that are now crushed and shut down, and there's like whole buildings that are like blocked off and stuff. And you find out that like there are people like all over this place that are sheltering and that are without water and medicine and also
power.
With running water, power, and then there's like one person who you meet that now I'm realizing is who you were talking about earlier, who is like sick and needs like
this is Ian. He's the guy who you meet in the like sewer tunnels.
No, I mean the yes, that's the one. So there is so you have like a couple of missions going on at the same time, and it's like go and one, fight your way through the Geth, and also like excommunicate the Geth from being able to find out what you're doing. There's like Geth transmitters that you can knock out, and then also there's like water supply that you can turn on, power supplies that you can return on, and you can like get this place back up to like being able to take care of the people here, and you can kill all of the Geth on your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you do all of you do all of that, you destroy the Geth transmitter, you find the water, you find power if you you find water and power if you want to, you kill like a couple of native animals that have also been indoctrinated and gone a little feral, you can kill those, so then hunting is easier. Killing Geth all the time. You come across Ian, who is in the tunnels. He's very bad mentally, is like ranting and raving about things. And you can go back to Fidan and be like, hey, so what the fuck is his deal? And he's like, he's just very ill. We lost him. Sure, bring him back if you want to. And I'm like, okay, I will do. Brought him back. And then you cross the bridge, the sky bridge, the Prothean sky bridge, to the main facility of Exogeni. You find Juliana and Ethan having an argument because both of them are like pretty high up in the company. There's like a very small grouping of them, survivors. Most of them are dying and have been shot. Juliana is wanting to go back into the facility to look for her daughter, and Ethan is saying, no, we should just wait here because the company is going to save us. He's a very like high up company man. And there is also all this talk of this thing called the Thorian. It is a plant, seemingly, that everyone that like this Exogeni is like has been researching, trying to figure out what it is, but the Geth also want it really bad. And and then it's like, okay, well, if we want to find out what it is, we have to go into the facility, probably destroy it, but find out why we want it.
Why they want it, yeah.
You find Juliana's daughter. She gives you like some key codes, and you go through and you pick up a bunch of things. And then upon finding out where the Thorian is, you go back, and all of these things called the Thorian creepers start coming out. They're like these humanoid organic zombies that for the most part aren't built off of people. They're just like these weird, what is later revealed to be like these weird like plant like creations.
However,
they have infected everyone. You speak to Juliana and Ethan again. You get a grenade attachment which can subdue the people, because as you're going back to the main like settlement that you started at, everyone is like a raving like lunatic now, infected by these spores, and are trying to kill you. And there are 16 people to save. How many did you save?
Ooh.
It's tough because you have to save them by like throwing the grenades and then detonating them at the right time. Grouping people is really important in this. It's a tough,
which is really fun. But I think I saved everyone. I know I didn't save everyone. But I think I saved like 11.
Nice. 11's decent. Yeah.
Because I think
still
I
double
did,
figures.
Yeah. I think it was because I had a positive, like, because Ethan, survived, and that. What is the other person? Hold on. Hang on.
Is it Arcilia?
Acilia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Arcilia calls herself a rent-a-cop as well. She's a rent-a-cop for the Exogeni Corporation.
Yeah.
And she's now like kind of second in command because she has military training.
Yeah. But yeah. So you. So wait, how many did you save everyone?
I saved everyone.
You did?
I'm a fucking pro gamer, baby. Saved everyone. Everyone first time. I was excited because I was wondering, like, weirdly, I kind of stopped. I saved everyone and then I kind of like had a pause and I was like, canonically, how many would she save? Like, how many, like, would she go through all the time? And I was like, you know what? I actually like the fact that she did.
I think it was
a fun kind of like bit of an emotional swing for her. Not that she hasn't been able to save everyone before, but her whole thing is like she'll do whatever it takes to do the mission, and this mission was save everyone, and it was like a make sure they're alive. So she was kind of going like, I imagined that she was being really brutal as she was saving people, like instead of gassing them out, was like gun butting them and like tying people up and like being really brutal as she was like hog tying people into the center of the room, and then did one gas grenade to like get them all to come to their senses again.
Ani was like, Ani is just like, she's gonna save people, because she's pissed about the fact that like anyone would have the opportunity and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also like, she's also a survivor. And so she's just kind of like the idea that, and of course this is like really, if I thought that it was really important to her character to save everyone, I would have looked it up and done like a step-by-step walkthrough and would have done that. But I was just like, I'm just going to go through and do and just do it and see how we shake out.
Yeah.
Because I think that for her, it's she wants to save everyone, but she's also going to live.
Yeah. I also and, like the fact that she a big turning point in her career is the fact that she's a sole survivor. And even when she tries to, she can't save everyone. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Exactly. And she and she wouldn't like she wouldn't sacrifice herself to save everyone.
No.
That's not
yeah.
That's not where she's at. Mm-hmm. Like that's she's gonna live. She's gonna save who she can save. As long as it's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Regardless of how many people you save, you then go deeper into the facility now that all these Theron creepers are dealt with. And then you find the Therion itself, this giant plant thing. So it is a plant, they weren't lying, but it is sentient and is producing people. It is like cloning and creating life.
Life.
Specifically, it's cloning Asari over and over and over again in a way that I think is really cool. It then, I believe it's now, it then...
Can I interrupt you really quickly?
Please do.
Who did you bring on this mission? Because I went back... to we talked about who he brought on the last planet.
I brought
back my favorite boys,
the Garrison, big boys, yeah, the Ren, heavy hitters.
I was all human
for this, so I brought Ashley and Caden.
Interesting. Did they have anything interesting to say?
I don't think
my guys did either. That's kind of why I brought it up.
Yeah,
I thought No, I think that's
it's a
why
shame.
I felt like the other one felt like a bigger main quest to me.
I agree.
Because everybody was commenting all the way through about like the morality of things and like the situation.
I agree.
Whereas, like,
I think
one, I didn't feel like a lot of people had
I
a lot
think
to say.
Novaria is a bigger mission, but
interesting.
I think that this one, you know what? I don't even know. I might agree with you and put Novaria first, because then you also learn about the Mu Relay and having to, like, that's what they're after. And this feels like a you're still learning information mission. Because when you're speaking to the Therion.
Therion, yeah.
You learn less like integral to the mission information that you do to Matriarch Benezia. And also you kill Matriarch Benezia, which is fucking massive, huge implications.
Right.
She's like the right hand of the lead antagonist, and you kill her. Yeah.
She was act one, scene two. Like,
yeah, literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was all human mission for me.
Interesting. Fun.
Yeah. This is a thing that the games do get better at. This is obviously their first attempt, so they just didn't have as good as others. So this Therion is cloning people, specifically Asari. You find out that this giant plant thing, the reason why the Geth are after it and why it's so important, aside from being able to clone people, is that it's a cipher to the Prothean language. It can help you, I believe. It can like just like kind of imprint in you that the cipher for the language, or it like has something to do with being able to cipher it. Fight and kill it. This also, fun fact of this is fun fact just for Bobbins. This is the mission where I realized that people can die and it's fine. They can die in combat and it's fine. I had no one go down in combat at all until this mission when Liara went down, and I was like, I've done this fucking mission so many times, I simply can't be bothered. I beat it, and then she was speaking next scene, and I was like, oh, fucking hell. I was like, oh, okay, so it's only in cutscenes they can die. It's fine for them to get knocked out. Yeah. Just because I heard that everyone, if they die in battle, they die for real.
They die for real.
They die for real. Now let me look at my notes. Cipher to the Prothean language. You find out what the conduit is. Because at this point it's just the conduit. The conduit is the key to the Prothean extinction event. So the thing that happened 50,000 years ago that killed every single piece of life, everything is built, all of Protheans, the key to what happened to them is what the conduit is, which means that it's like, oh shit, this is why we need to find it.
Because it's like, could be a new extinction event.
It could be a new extinction. It just could be like, this whole game is talking about and showing you how important Protheans are to everyone in the galaxy, and finding out what actually happened to them is like pretty key. This is where you find out that Sovereign's ship indoctrinates people. I don't think you actually find out that out with Major Obinezia, but you find this out now. It's not Saren that indoctrinates people. It's the ship itself that's doing it.
It is.
It's the ship, not Saren.
It's the ship.
You fight a pretty fun boss fight where you're just fighting hordes of zombies, which I enjoyed. Then this is also a fun thing because this is immediately after Novaria, where the Rachni Queen takes over Narasari to speak to you. This, with the Therion, is another alien that takes over the mind of an Asari to speak to you again. It just kind of happens all the time when the Asari, you just need the Asari to speak through you.
I think it's like the Asari are such empathy creatures that they are, that you, I'm headcanoning that like these like mind control things are just able to do that because they have such attuned empathy.
Yeah.
That they
No,
are
I agree.
Like,
I think that's a good that's a good play.
You
fight, you kill the thing. Then you go back to the ship. Then there is another choice, but it is way less severe as to kill or save the Rachni Queen. This is Liara offers to mind meld with you to read your mind and see the vision. Now that she understands the cipher, what did you do?
Because now you've had visions of the Prothean like extinction, and now you've also had other imagery from the cipher.
Yeah.
So yes. you have new images in your brain fresh.
And it's not that it's like, oh, it's showing you words and images. This is simply how Protheans interact. This is like how they have spoken. So you need a cipher for pictures to be like, I don't understand what it's trying to say. And then so then that's kind of the new visions that you're getting now, is like you're able to understand what it means when they show you a specific picture. You're like, you're like, okay, well, that picture means this, 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 and this. And then, yeah, it kind of shows you new stuff. Did you let Liara read your mind?
No.
Ah, interesting. I did. Because I feel bad. And I also still kind of like her. She's a hot lady on my ship. I let her read her mind. She has new insight into what's happening. But she specifically asks, can I sit down for like a minute? Because that was super intense. I've just had forbidden knowledge flooded into my mind, and this is everything I've wanted, and I might throw up. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then there's another round of crew chat. Speak to everyone again.
This is where I I am like, I see all the bones and I just wish I could speak to everybody a little bit more.
Yeah.
Particularly my man, Seth Green. I wish I could speak to him a little bit more. Oh. I've so far.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's so little. I have gotten just beans from him. But I get it. I get it. I know that we're going somewhere good. I like that in between, like, ability to chat, is something that I'm like, I'm really like, I know that it's something that BioWare learns to do. And I am like yearning for it in this.
Yeah.
But I did, I had, good chats with, You get good chats with like the going out crew. It's just, you know what it is? It's the on ship crew that you don't have like in between.
You can't
chats
have
with,
repeat
like,
conversation. Yeah. Oh, rather yeah, it is yeah. all repeat conversations. I keep going to speak to Dr. Chakwas and the only option I have is like speak about Caden. Yeah. And it's like, I know what your thoughts about Caden is. I don't need to know more.
Exactly. Like Dr. Chakwas, I wish that she had evolving thoughts.
Because she has a really interesting thing of the first time you speak to her, you're like, well, why are you here? She's like, I'm bored. I'm doing this mission where I'm probably gonna die because I'm fucking bored of the like day-to-day of being a doctor. And that's such a great opener. And it's like, I wish I could speak to you more though. I wish I could kind of divulge into you.
I know, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's really it. But speaking to the companions is great, but I do wish that the people on the ship I had a little bit more to talk to about, but I feel like I know that that's, we're gonna get there because I know we'll get that there, that's like, I know the evolution of this, you know,
of these games. The studio that does it is for me, I went around, I spoke to the crew again. Turns out you find out about Caden that he beat the person that he was like training him was a Turian and was really intense, and Caden beat him to death, which I thought was crazy.
Oh yeah, I got this in between the two.
Between Nevarian and Pharos. Crazy. I like him.
Did make me like him. Yeah, did
like him
make
so
me
much.
Like
him. He feels really bad about it, but it's like,
I know.
He feels bad because my reaction was like, oh well, he deserved it, because he's saying that he was so harsh and was like abusing another student, and then Caden beat him to death, and then you're like, oh well, he deserved it. And Caden's like, he was a person who lived, and I feel horrendous that I killed him. That's what matters about that. And I'm like,
I actually
fuck with you pretty hard, actually. That's crazy. I like you.
Oh,
lots.
Good.
Yeah.
And also, I love him disagreeing with your support. Like that's
exactly. Yeah.
That's weird and interesting and human.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. No, he's a great character. I rejected Liara at this point. This is when she was like, hey, do you want to have sex? And I said, ooh, I think you're too into me. No, I'm okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Have a great conversation with Rex.
Yeah.
So Rex reveals that he worked with Saren in the last one. In this one, for me, he said that he tried to rally his people to cure the Genophage. But he was betrayed. He was asked to go to like a graveyard of his people where there's apparently no battles are allowed to take place on the graveyard. But the person who was like his commander and his like the leader of his squad that he like trusted and loved very much led him there, and then eventually did ambush him. And then he also reveals that was his dad that did that. Rex is like betrayed by his father because Rex tried to help. And that's why when you bring up, well, why don't you just cure the Genophage? And he's negative about it, because he's like, I fucking tried.
Right.
Yeah.
But also he's just like it also colors that his thought process in the beginning, which I was initially a little bit grumpy about, was the idea that like, when you're like, well, what if we cured it? And he's just like, no, none of us want to cure it. He's not saying none of
he's
us.
He's not saying he's none of us want to cure it.
He's saying he's basically using like the royal we, essentially, like no one, like no, like he's talking about how his father, like someone his father and also like the people that he knows were are uninterested in
yeah.
doing what it takes. And
yeah,
fuck, that's actually
it's great.
Fucking relatable as shit.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
For Rex. Huge yeah. for Rex, actually. You also, I spoke to Ashley. Ashley has an interesting thing of, she talks about her grandfather and how her grandfather was the only person to ever surrender to aliens. Oh, no, sorry. The first person to ever surrender to aliens because he was in the First Contact War. And he was like discharged, put into some random office because he didn't like die fighting aliens. He was the only one to surrender. And it's part of Ashley's like, she just holds this big, like, well, that's not going to be me. I actually fucking hate these guys and I will die fighting them. And it's just a, yeah, I just think it's interesting.
By my hand, Ashley.
Then you talk to Garrus, and Garrus brings up an old case that he was working on. Yeah? Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. No, I don't. You keep trying.
Garrus had an old case when he worked for CSEC, and it was someone, a Solarian, who was growing organs in people and then finding them in the middle of the night and then harvesting the organs from them. But Garrus found them because he kept finding bodies that had like more livers than they should, and like just like more organs that just didn't fit well in the body. A lot of people just like hemorrhaged to death. Some people just died in surgery when the guy was like cutting them out. And apparently the guy, it was all caught up in red tape, which is why Garrus is like, red tape is bad and evil. And it's why, you know, I take things right, on my right. own, on my own. And I think that you, a Spectre, is really good. Because the guy just left planet, changed his name, and is doing it still, because he like hauls the people who he's like implanted with these extra organs. He just hauls them planet to planet, just kind of keeping them with him, keeps them like paid
alive.
But, paid and alive. And Garrus is like, I can't do anything because I am CSEC and I am under this like law and I'll get like sanctioned from it.
Yeah.
But I found the guy. You're a Spectre.
Right.
Can you look for the guy? Can you
is interesting because he's a little bit like by the law when you first meet him. Or he's like, he feels, I guess, like he has to be by the law when you first meet him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but he's also always like a little bit bitter about it.
He's consistently like, he's for the law, but he's been consistently fucked over by the systems in place that he is like, I'd love you to help me, please.
Oh, God. I love him. He's
the best.
Yeah.
Gonna
love him.
Oh, you have to love him. He's just the guy. I'm very glad that you like him because he's my best friend.
He's the fucking best guy in the world. He's the fucking
best guy. We're on to the back half of the game now.
Incredible.
The only things left on our schedule is the Bring Down the Sky DLC, which I've heard is not very good, but whatever. We're not here. We're not only playing the good things, we're playing the things to talk about.
We're playing.
And Vermeier. Vermeier is, I'm pretty sure doing Vermeier locks you out of doing anything else. So do the Bring Down the Sky DLC, do the personal missions. Garrus and Rex are the two characters that have personal missions in this.
Yeah.
Because Rex is about finding his family's like armor. Do the Rogue VI mission. Anything else? Yeah. Then do Vermeier. When you do Vermeier, again, just reminding you, you need to have 8 score in either charm or intimidate. One of the.
I got it. Yeah. We're good.
And then you can do anything you want, but I just want you to have the option and you're just locked out of it. If this was a one-shot game, I wouldn't care. It is not. It is a trilogy. So I need you to at least have that option.
No, I got you.
And then after Vermeier, fucking done, baby.
Oh my God.
We're doing Lockdown, Endgame. Ilios Endgame. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Holy
How are we finding the game?
I am still loving it. I am like mildly, you know, like, I'm mildly frustrated in like the way that I can see the bones of things, like really just like the, like, I want to be able to talk to these people more. I want like a little bit more from everybody.
Yeah.
Like I want like a little bit more from everything like that's happening. But like the environmental storytelling is still so good. And like the way that lore is presented and also like the morally gray options and things like that. I'm genuinely having a great time. The Matriarch Benezia, like choice in that quest was where I was like, oh, this is a good game.
Yeah.
Like that. This is a good game.
Yeah.
This has.
No, it's big. It's really great. I do agree with a lot of this because this one took me a very long time to get through because this like game, I know that we talked about it originally. But it took me a long time to get through because there's not a lot of interaction in a lot of things. But the joy of that, I guess, is that we have 2 additional games with pretty much this cast. And they're all having these like, they're all going to have these like big real moments and they really do get like fleshed out and talked about. A thing which I am loving so much about it is the fact that, because the first time I played this, and most times I play this, I didn't speak to everyone every single time. So learning about, you know, these characters and the way that they like operate, I really like the fact. Obviously I like the fact because it's just good writing. Like, you know, we were just talking about it with Rex being very like flippant about you saying, oh, we could, why don't, is there no chance to fix the genophage? And he's like, no, none of us want to do it.
There's not.
And then you find out that it's not that none of us want to do it. It's that he tried and his dad betrayed him. And now he's a mercenary and is like, fuck it.
Fuck it. Like, no, clearly, no, it's not. Oh, no one wants to do that. That's a fact. It's the way that we as humans would say, oh, no one wants to fix that because we're frustrated that like no one who has the power to fix it is fixing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's that literally. It's that frustration. It's that like, oh yeah, no, that's not happening because no one wants to.
Yeah.
It's not flippant. It's frustrated.
Yeah.
It's not dismissive. It's angry. Mm. And that's an interesting like development of that. And that's so fucking good. That's good.
It's great. And yeah, then we have Garrus, who I love, who again is this big red tape guy. But then you speak to him for 5 minutes. And even though he's like, oh, no, I think all these things are good. There's too much of people not doing anything because of X, with it. It's great. I just love it.
I think that red tape is great. I wish that red tape didn't involve the one thing that I care about, though, I wish that there wasn't so much red tape around that, and that we could just do that without all the red tape.
Red tape should exist for everyone but me.
But the thing that I think is really important: what if we got rid of that?
It's cool that he expresses it And it's a thing that clearly he hates red tape. But then also he was going to be a Spectre. He was going to be a guy that didn't need any red tape. But his dad asked him to not be. And he was like, okay. And then just like gave up on this thing that he clearly believes. Like this, I don't know, you could say self-destructive streak that he has of everyone deserves red tape but me. And then he had the chance to be the guy that didn't have any red tape. And it's like, who would Garrus be if he did take that? He'd just be like fairly corrupt. Maybe not. He's clearly has morals in some way. Like he has a lot of, he's like, he's like, oh, I'm going after the bad guys. It's like,
cause like, we don't know what all these other Spectres are doing. That's another thing.
Yeah, we don't even know who they are.
No.
No one even knows many there are. Yeah.
I know. Clearly too many is the thing.
Yeah.
If we don't know how many there are, it's too many.
Well, it's not that people don't know how many. It's that the public doesn't know how many. And Captain Anderson was the one to...
That's the same.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I did actually like, you go to Pharos and you say, you like in the second settlement, not the first one, not Zeus Hope, the other one, you go there and you're like, hey, I'm a Spectre. And then the guy's like, no, you're not. There's no human Spectres. Shut up. And you're like, okay, do you want to check your language again? He's like, oh, is there Spectres? And you're like, yeah, baby. It's me. Yeah. And he's like, oh, shit, that's crazy. I can't believe you made it. And it's like, how long have you guys been here? Like that. Yeah. It's fun.
Good game.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
I know, I'm feeling good about it. Our friend, my roommate, is playing it and is a little bit behind us and where we are at the minute, so I get to play Mass Effect and then I get to fall asleep to the sounds of Mass Effect.
Is he playing it on the PlayStation?
No, playing it on the PC and God bless him. God bless him. Doesn't use headphones, that guy. and you know what? If by any, he's not listening to this, but if he does, don't change.
Don't change.
I like that. I like that you, I like that you play your video games.
You have your ASMR of gun sounds.
Exactly. No, I'm genuinely pleased all the time. It's great. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beauty.
Normandy.
Normandy, gather round. Gather round as I find my notes. Normandy, gather round. We have an important announcement for you all.
Very important.
You exist. Because we allow it. And you will end. Because we demand it. It's a good closing line.
It's good. I can't wait to figure out what that's about.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for us to talk next week. I'm losing my mind about it.
Oh my God, it's going to be good. Oh my God,
it's going to be good. It's not to put too fine a point on it, it is a fucking huge... Vermeer is massive as a planet. It's crazy. The events that happen on it. Yeah.
All right.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. Anyway, I love you.
I love you.
Love you.